Fire is a terrible thing, though, when it's out of control. It destroys homes. It destroys forests, cities. It takes life and reduces years and years of hard work, long, slow growth, to ashes drifting on the breeze. And the more it burns, the harder it is to stop. Fire is a wonderful servant, but a terrible master. Agreed? Now, what does fire have to do with communication, though? What's it got to do with us talking to each other? Well, James, I'm not talking about James Somerville this time, James that wrote the book of James, he says in chapter 3, verses 2 to 8, I'll read it out for you, since you can't read your Bibles very well, unless you've got an electronic one. For we all stumble in many ways. He says, we all stumble or offend in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouth of a horse and they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and driven by strong winds, and nowadays by strong engines, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the governor of the ship directs. So also the tongue. So he's comparing these things to our tongue. The tongue is a small member, small part of your body, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. So James tells us that the tongue is a fire that can set the whole course of life on fire like that of the Valley of Hinnom. The tongue, you see, or our words, makes a wonderful servant, but a terrible master. What does that mean? Our tongue makes a wonderful servant, but a terrible master. What's that? Need to be controlled. We can use it for good if we control it, but if it's out of control, it's not good. It means that our words are wonderful things if we control them. They allow us to share information. They let us interact meaningfully. They let us make people happy or help them when they're sad. They let us live our lives effectively. Think if you couldn't speak to someone, how hard it would be to get through a day. But our words are terrible things when we're not in control of them. That is, when we are not carefully keeping them in check. They destroy friendships. They confuse the truth. They steal happiness and replace it with anger, hatred, sadness. They reduce years and years of trust and love and reliance to cold suspicion and unfounded hate. Just like that fire, when it's out of control, destroys years and years of work, leaves nothing but ashes, so our words, when we are not in control of them, reduce years and years of trust to cold suspicion. Truly, the tongue is a wonderful servant, but a terrible master. However, what does the tongue have to do with electronic communication? I'm going to use the term social media here. It's the title that's printed in our program there. I'm going to use it interchangeably with electronic communication. Okay, so social media includes any form of sharing information that allows groups of people to interact. So if I can put something online and lots of people can interact with it. So things like Facebook, Twitter, for those of you who know what Twitter is, online dating sites, chat rooms, even YouTube. So I use the term social media because it's a catchphrase now. It's the next big thing. It's what your generation, young people, what your generation will build their lives around. They already do. If you don't believe me, let me present for your intellectual feasting the Facebook stats from a recent edition of the world-famous McGuffey's News. Who in here knows what McGuffey's News is? Yes. Four hands. It's not as famous as Sid Jones. But it comes from North Battleford, Saskatchewan. It's the free newspaper there. You can pick it up every week. It's got like comics in it and fun facts. It had some pretty interesting facts on Facebook. 48%, so really close to half. Half of people 18 to 34 years old check Facebook as soon as they wake up. So if you find 100 18 to 34 year olds, ask every one of them if they checked Facebook first thing this morning. 48 of them will tell you they did. 50% of active users log onto Facebook in any given day. That means it's being checked on average every other day. On average, that's all the people logged in using Facebook. The average user has 130 friends. That's people there's a single connection to or a direct connection to through Facebook. Get this. People spend over 700 billion minutes per month on Facebook. You know how much it would cost you to pay for 700 billion minutes of labor a month? Facebook has people asking them to do it. There are over 900 million objects that people interact with. And objects are things like pages, groups, events, community pages. So this is what I mean by social media. Things where people can interact as a group. Community can interact. For those of you, though, that don't use social media, you'll find that the principles of most forms of electronic communication are very nearly the same. So just think about the way you communicate electronically. These principles will probably apply. That might just be a text message. It may be email. It may be a telephone. Telephone is still electronic communication. The principles are the same, as you'll see. So what's the tongue or our words got to do with social media? We've talked about fire. We've talked about words. Now we're talking about social media. What does the tongue have to do with social media? Anyone? A chili's got everybody asleep. Exactly. We talk about the tongue to describe our words. And we talk about the tongue the same way to refer to words that we've typed instead of spoken. The same principles apply again. We might ask a question that's similar. What does cutting have to do with a chainsaw? And I know Terry's really disappointed I forgot to bring my chainsaw tonight. You got one? You going to bring it in here? Yeah, sure. All right. What's cutting got to do with a chainsaw? The same thing that a tongue, social media, has to do with talking. A chainsaw is a way to cut, right? We used handsaws in the past. Handsaws work fine, right? Chainsaw just does it a lot faster. Social media is a way to talk. We always just talk mouth to mouth before, right? It works just fine. But social media can get an idea out there a lot faster. So, if we had some cutting to do, do you think we should wait for Dan to bring the chainsaw in? Or should we use a handsaw?
Wait till he
gets in. Okay, anybody else? Okay, wait till he gets in. Well, I just had a little burr right here that I need to trim off the side of the podium. So when he gets back in here, we'll take care of that. What do y'all think? Chainsaw? Handsaw. That's the difference between Texas and Canada. When I gave this talk in Canada, everyone says handsaw. Everyone down here was like, chainsaw, bring it up. Okay, so it really depends, doesn't it? All right, here he is. Oh, done. Yeah, you said chainsaw? Can you come trim this for me? Just kidding. So, it really depends on the job, doesn't it? Whether we want to use a chainsaw or a little handsaw. Thanks, Dan. If you don't know how to use a chainsaw, you really better not mess with it. Because when you mess up with a chainsaw, you really mess up, don't you? If I'm off just a little bit, we won't have a podium anymore. And if I'm off the wrong way, I won't have a finger anymore. May not have a leg anymore. Okay? You don't just give yourself a little nick when you're using a chainsaw. You cut off half your hand. Shred your knee down to the bone. Besides, a handsaw, as opposed to this machine, takes nearly no maintenance at all. If I was going to use this chainsaw regularly, I've got dozens of teeth here I need to sharpen. Takes chain lube, takes a mixture of gas and oil, takes priming, tuning, weather changes. You've got to get your chainsaw tuned again. All things that you've got to consider when you're using a chainsaw. But if you've got enough wood to cut, it may be worth using, right? If you've got a lot of cutting to do, it may be worth it to learn to use a chainsaw and learn to use it safe and effectively. The chainsaw gives you the ability to cut fast, right? It's a tool. Social media gives you the ability to spread stuff fast. It's a tool. Okay, you can type a message and let the whole world see it, no matter how far away they are, whereas talking is limited to those near you. I mean, just this morning, I got a message from someone in Kenya. I mean, they're living in clay brick houses with no electricity, and yet they can get on a cell phone and talk to me on Facebook. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that amazing? I mean, it took us like 36 hours to get there. And they can send me a message on their cell phone just like that. And not just to me. Dennis Acabo gets on there and he writes a note and half the people here see it. You can share pictures, thoughts, videos, etc. instantly, and you can get a whole group of folks talking about them even when no one is near each other. But if you're not in control of social media, you better not be using it. If you don't know the principles that apply online, you're in no situation to be spreading stuff on it. Because when you spread stuff online, good or bad, you really spread it. The whole world sees it. They all see the example you set. Everyone on earth with a computer or a phone can be impacted by your words. Now, when you set a bad example in person, you pretty well know everyone who saw it. You may not know everyone who's going to hear about it, but you know everyone that saw it. When you set that example online, though, you have no idea how many people saw a display of sinful attitude, how many ways or times it will be copied and reposted, shared, documented, or how your reputation and your values in the eyes of those who see it will be changed by it. A chainsaw cuts fast. It doesn't matter if it's cutting something it should be cutting or not. It will do what it's designed to do. It will cut fast, whether it's wood or your leg. Social media shares thoughts quickly. Whether those thoughts are good ones or bad ones, it will do what it's designed to do. It will spread those thoughts quickly. So just like you'd better be careful what's being cut when you put a chainsaw against it, you better be careful what's being said when you use social media to say it. Don't think it gets people in trouble? Let's look at some examples of how technology spreads bad things and how it's gotten folks into a world of trouble. I was just reading on the way here, on my phone, of all things, reading an internet article about a few people that really messed up this year using social media. I mean, like not just lose their jobs, but ruin the rest of their life. And it said something interesting at the end of the article. It said 2013 was the year for social media fails. There were so many people out there that made huge mistakes on there from a little article, a little something they posted, huge mistakes, and they'll never recover from them. So let's look at a few examples. Some of these are humorous. Some of them are really sad. This is actually one of my Facebook friends. None of y'all know her. I blacked out her picture because, well, if I wrote this, I wouldn't want everyone to remember me for it. But it's a bridal shot. It's her in her wedding dress and her veil. And she has this comment that she posted on Facebook. And I was just really struck by it because she's in her wedding dress. You know, she's got her veil thrown back. It's like a symbol of beauty and purity. And then this is what she writes. Oh my, if this is true, explicit, Please don't let it be. My fist will be the first thing to hit you. I'm usually not the kind of person to put stuff on here like this, but I know you look at my page, so let this be a warning. The only warning. And now y'all will all remember her, even though you don't know her name, as the woman who gives threats in a wedding dress. There's a picture that's all too common on Facebook. It's just something I want to point out. When guys put bad pictures on Facebook, it's generally something stupid that makes a guy look really stupid. What about girls? What kind of pictures are girls tempted to put on Facebook to impress other people? They're usually pictures that degrade the girl. Yeah. And those images can last even longer than the stupid image you get from putting a dumb picture like that up. Some celebrities or sports enthusiasts that got checked pretty hard. Tweeting during a game, the NBA and NFL, this is from a news article, NBA and NFL have strict rules for using social media. It's banned 45 minutes before NBA games, 90 minutes before NFL games, and extends through the post-game press conferences for both. While a slew of players forget the rule, Mavericks owner Mark Cuban and Bengals wide receiver Chad Ochocinco, thank you, got the harshest reminders. Both men got a $25,000 bill for their short-term memory lapse. I think getting grounded by your mom for being on the phone in church is bad. $25,000 bill because they were on there at the wrong time. Tiger Woods. Alleged Tiger Woods mistress Jocelyn James releases X-rated text messages she claims are from the golfer. Thought text messages were all right because only one person sees them? The same principles apply. Olympic athlete just got the boot last time around in the Olympics, 2012. So, you know, the Olympics only come around every 4 years. There's something about Olympic athletes. If you're competing at the top level in the world, and it only happens every 4 years, you really only have one shot at it. Because, you know, if I competed in the Olympics this year, I'm 27, people would say he's just past his prime. Next time Olympics comes around, I want to be 31, 32. I'm not going to be able to keep up with myself from 4 years ago. I'm not going to be able to keep up with everybody else from 4 years ago. So basically, somebody gets a shot at the Olympics, usually it's a once-in-a-lifetime event. And it's also like a one-in-a-million event because most people never qualify. So you've got actually two athletes here, it talks about, that qualify for the Olympics. It's their once-in-a-lifetime event, their one chance in their life to compete in the Olympics. And they put a simple comment on Twitter that was stupid. A racist comment on Twitter, guess what happens? You get booted out of the Olympics. Because they could not keep their tongue in control, they lost their once-in-a-lifetime shot at the Olympics. This was actually two of them. You notice this is another racist Twitter scandal. Here's one that just happened. You know, it's funny because it happened like right around the time that Bob and I were traveling to Africa and this lady was traveling to Africa. We'll just go through the whole story here. It's an interesting story and really illustrates the point. So this woman, Justine Seiko, she's a PR director for this company called Interactive Corp. I think it's coming out of New York. Anyway, so she's on this flight. If you're flying from the U.S. to South Africa, you go through London usually. So she'd gone to London. Now she's on her flight, leaving London, going down to Cape Town, South Africa. That's an 11-hour flight, okay? Right before she gets on her plane, she puts on her personal Twitter account this stupid and racist message. Going to Africa. Hope I don't get AIDS. Just kidding. I'm white. Obviously a stupid comment. But she only had about 200 followers, okay, on Twitter. She only had about 200. So be like, someone said it, and the people in this room were the only ones that had access to that information, okay? Or even less than the people in this room. But someone on that list emailed it to Valley Wag editor Sam Biddle, who told BuzzFeed. If you don't know BuzzFeed website, it's a website that tries to pick up on stories that they think will go viral, okay? If they can find something that they think will make people either really, you know, laugh really hard or get really angry, they're going to post it. And people watch them every day because they come up with things that make them really laugh or make them really shake their fist. Okay? He published a brief item about 3 hours after it was sent. Okay, so she leaves the airport in London. She's still in the air 3 hours into her flight. She's still got 8 more hours in her flight, and BuzzFeed's actually covering her story. She's not on the internet during her flight, so she has no idea this is happening. He tweeted it at 1:30 to the immediate notice of other reporters on a slow Friday afternoon. These are newspaper reporters. Now, it's gone out of her friend community into the newspaper reporter community. Other members of the media, including BuzzFeed staffers, took notice and began interacting with Seiko's Twitter account directly. So Twitter is just like an account where you update what you're doing or little things about yourself, like a little conversation piece. I don't use it myself, but so I don't know a whole lot about it. But anyway, so they start having this conversation back and forth about what she said. More sites picked up the Twitter storm, including Business Insider and BuzzFeed. This is what one guy said about it. Hundreds of people were talking about it at this point. I remember when you could be utterly stupid without the whole world finding out. And basically that's a pretty good lesson for any kind of internet usage. For someone that's a lumberjack, they used to have a handsaw and they cut their lumber in the yard. And if they were dumb enough to put the saw against their arm, they just had to put a Band-Aid over it. But when they've got a chainsaw and they're dumb enough to put it against their arm, everybody knows about it because they're missing an arm for the rest of their life. Same with social media. So Justine Seiko is heading to South Africa. Her Twitter status actually starts trending in South Africa. That means people are seeing it and sharing it with other people. She doesn't control this because she just started it, and anyone now can share it. That's what happens online. It's very easy to copy and paste something, right? So it's trending where she's about to land, actually. Just before 5:30, a woman in Miami started the hashtag, "Has Justine landed yet?" So there's people all over the world talking about her. She's still in the air. She's still somebody thinking she's somebody just like you and I. Soon it was trending worldwide. This is the places where people were talking about her status while she's still in the air. She wasn't famous. She wasn't a celebrity. She was just a regular person working a regular job. Somebody got a hold of what she said. This is a world map, and these are the places where people were talking about her online. She's still in the air. She doesn't even know what's going on. The whole world waited for one person's plane to land so she could get back online and respond to her critics. These are worldwide trends. That means the tags or the conversations that were talked about the most in the world, hers was number two. She's still in the air. She's still in the air, and she's a number two conversation piece in the world. Matter of fact, if you typed Justin into your smartphone, she was a result above Justin Bieber. There was more people searching for her name than searching for Justin Bieber. While she's still in the air. She hasn't even finished her 11-hour flight yet. She has no clue. No clue. Still trending Saturday afternoon. You notice where it's trending the most from? Africa. She's fixing the land there. Can you imagine the greeting at the runway? Since her tweet blew up, her name was tweeted or mentioned on the Twitter account. Her name was mentioned more than 30,000 times, and the hashtag was used over 100,000 times. She lost her job before she landed. She lost her job before she landed. When she landed and realized this, she sent an apology out. She deleted her Twitter account. She deleted her Facebook account, her Instagram account, her email accounts, everything. She's a ghost now. Any online presence is just a spot for people to pick at. She will never be the same. Her name for a day was more famous than Justin Bieber. Because everyone loved her? No, because everyone wanted her to die of AIDS. That's how powerful social media can be. That's how powerful social media can be. So let's have some discussion for a moment. Can anyone give me three principles that should be considered when speaking to someone in person? So when I'm talking to Brother Paul, me and him are just having a chat over a cup of iced tea. what are some principles that I should be thinking about while I'm having that conversation?
Respect.
Respect. Someone else? I heard someone else start. Look at them. That's part of respect or courtesy, as I have up here, I would think.
Your angel's in on that conversation too.
Yeah, your angel's in on that conversation too. Okay, so things like accountability to God. Anything else?
Swift to hear, slow to speak.
Very good. So I've got several here that we can look at. Honesty, respect, and courtesy. We talked about clarity is one we didn't mention. The example and impact on the hearers. And I think Brother Mike brought that one home pretty hard when he said your angels are listening. They're just not speaking. Example and impact on the hearers. So I should be aware of everyone that's listening to that conversation. Purity of my speech. What am I talking about? Are the things that I'm talking about pure? Avoidance of gossip. Love of God and of others. Are the things I'm doing pleasing to God? Are they pleasing to those around me? Seeking first to understand, or being swift to hear and slow to speak. Sympathy, encouragement, admonishing, patience, long-suffering, peace, harmony. These are the fruits of the Spirit that we read about in Scripture. These are the principles of communication that apply when Brother Paul and I are sitting and talking over a cup of iced tea, right? Reading Colossians 3, but now put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Titus 3:2, speak evil of no man. Be not brawlers or fighters, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. This applies to our conversations. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that speak according to the truth. Finally, my brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are right, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is any praise, think on these things. And our thoughts become our words. So the things that we should speak on. Avoidance of gossip. With it all, they learn to be idle, going around the houses, and not only idle, but tattlers and busybodies, speaking things they ought not. Therefore, I want the younger ones to marry, bear children, guide the house, giving no occasion to the adversary because of reproach. For some have already turned aside after Satan. This is Paul's admonishment. And thank you. That was Brother Pat back there, wasn't it? Slow to speak, slow to wrath, but swift to hear. Now, another discussion question. Can you list... If you can, list some principles that apply to speaking in person. So principles I have to think about when I'm talking with Paul, but I don't have to think about when I'm communicating online. Can you think of a principle that applies in person that I can forget about when I'm speaking online?
Facial expressions,
okay. How about a principle? Do we have a principle? Any of these principles like what we talked about before? No?
You can't speak clearly.
Okay. Well, this is the answer I was hoping for. Really, when we look at the principles of interaction, if you're going online, you don't get to skip any of them. They all apply online, don't they? Facial expressions, okay, you don't have to worry about them. But I'm talking about principles here, principles of communication. These principles that dictate the way that I talk to Brother Paul when we're at his house having a cup of iced tea, they apply just the same if I'm putting a comment on Facebook or writing somebody an email or sending somebody a text message. They all still apply. It's not like you enter some alternate dimension and you get to forget all the rules of real life communication. Okay? Everything still applies. Honesty, respect and courtesy, clarity, example and impact on hearers. And that one is huge when you're putting something online. Because it's not just the next person over that's listening in. It can be anyone. And it's not just the people that you're directly connected to. Someone can share it with someone else. They can share it with someone else. They can share it with someone else. It's so easy to copy and paste. They call it sharing. Okay? Everybody loves to share online. It's Check out what I saw. Check out what so-and-so said. Hey, look at this over here. I'm going to share it. I'm going to put it on my page, and then you can come look at it. You can put it on your page, and then before you know it, you've got 100,000 viewers in South Africa looking at you.
Getting off a plane.
Yeah, getting off a plane, exactly. That's right. Pitfalls of online interaction. Some of these are the things we talked about too. These are some things we can look out for when we're going online. And they're not just things that you don't want your parents to find out about. They're actually things that later on you'll really regret if you allow them to develop. Okay? Some of the things about online interaction. When you have your Facebook, it's like the picture of me that I want the world to see, right? Right? I mean, I can be 6'7" and 300 pounds and 2% body fat, right? And be whatever I want to be online, okay? The problem with that, it encourages egotism, okay? I can make myself look like the coolest person around, the smartest person around, the fittest person around, the most popular person around, okay? I can create a version of myself online. You can do that with Facebook. You can do that with Twitter. You can do that with your email. You can do that with a text message, okay? Just be careful about it. Don't allow that egotism to develop, because what happens when you build yourself up like this? It hurts really bad when you fall and you hit the ground. Somebody's going to burst that bubble eventually, and you're going to realize, I'm not that person I invented online, and everybody thinks I'm an idiot because I did. It allows venting. That happens a lot. I just saw somebody that said, I'm getting off Facebook because I can't vent on there anymore. Apparently, people get stressed out when I vent on Facebook. Yeah, that's not really the reason you should be on there in the first place. You know, don't go online so you can spew out your problems about everybody to the whole world, because no one wants to sit and listen to you, so you just type it in. That's not a good idea either, and it's a natural thing. These are pitfalls because they are common problems. Okay, these are things that a lot of people are naturally led to. So just things to watch out for. Another one, it can connect you with the world. It can be a very strong connection to the world. You don't take control of it. It can be addicting. I got to tell a story about a brother in Africa. Bob's the only one who knows who it is, but he told us this story, so I don't think he'd mind me sharing it. He said he got a cell phone, and he just got on Facebook here recently. He's an older brother, actually. He says, man, one night I stayed up all night long. He said somebody was chatting with me on there, and I just kept talking back to him. And I look up, and it's like, he said it was like 6 a.m. and he had to work in like 2 hours. I mean, if it can happen to him, it can happen to anybody. Okay? And, you know, he realized it, of course, and he kind of curved that off after a while. But when you realize that it's taking the place of more important things, you're probably becoming a little bit addicted to it. So back off. Just be aware of that. Spreads gossip. You know, everybody loves to gossip, especially when you can share. Hey, guess what so-and-so said? I'll just share that on my page. A little note underneath it to let everybody know how sorry that person is. Temptation and peer pressure. Limited accountability. You can set who sees what you write on there. That doesn't mean that God doesn't see it. It doesn't mean you should forget the principles that we talked about. Wasting time. That's kind of goes hand in hand with addicting. There's one up there I skipped. Romantic irresponsibility. Romantic irresponsibility. The internet reeks of it. Okay? See a picture of a girl online, I go over there and say, hey, cutie, how you doing? Don't get anything back. You stupid woman. Go on to the next one, right? Did I care? No. It was a face, made in advance, and then I stepped out. Did it ever occur to me while I was doing that exercise that there's an actual human being there? That there's more than the picture? That's one of the problems with the online world. Then people in the world see it. So, you know, people get on there and they just, so-and-so from some place I've never been and someone I'll never meet, so I'm just going to say what I want. Move on. And it may be romantic or it may just be critical. You know, you can post whatever you want on there because no one's going to say, hey, don't write that. That's mean. They've never met the person. You don't know them. You have no accountability there. It's still wrong. There's still a person on the other end that's receiving that comment or that feedback, okay? And it's the same as if You walked up and slapped him in the face in person. Okay, so we'll move on. Here's a good story for you. It's a quick one. I've got a friend who just graduated from the University of Saskatchewan, the place I was studying at before I moved back here. She was doing commerce and marketing. So it's like how to market an idea, how to take something and make the whole world see it. Okay? An ad for a company, or you want everyone to know that you helped out Salvation Army, something like that. Okay? I asked her, she's actually the public relations, working in public relations at the Synchrotron, the Canadian Light Source Synchrotron. So I was asking her, as we were getting ready for a lecture, I said, how's the most effective way that we can advertise for a lecture? You know, how's the most effective way to advertise, period? You know, how are all the companies doing it? Because you're studying this right now. She said, it's all about social media. I keep messing up, sorry. Most effective way to market an idea, it's all about social media. Guess what? I have social media. Guess what? You have social media. It's the most effective way to market an idea. What idea are you going to market with it? Here's a comic on what you decide to market it. It's on Ask Reddit. It's some website where you can answer questions. You ask a question and people answer for you. The question, though, is if someone from the 1950s suddenly appeared today, what would be the most difficult thing to explain to them about life today? That's what the number one answer was. I possess a device in my pocket that is capable of accessing the entirety of information known to man. And I use it to look at pictures of cats and get in arguments with strangers. What is the idea you're marketing? So, can we conclude then that social media is a wonderful servant but a terrible master? It's kind of like fire, isn't it? It's kind of like our tongues, isn't it? It's kind of like a chainsaw, isn't it? It's good when you're in control of it, but it's terrible when you're not. Social media is a powerful and effective thing. It's powerful and effective in a good way when you use it correctly, but it is powerful and effective in a bad way in causing damage when it controls you. When we're in control of it, technology can spread positive influence to literally thousands of people. It can be a tool that connects with the truth. I've seen it happen firsthand. I've seen people that their first interaction with the truth is through technology. It offers us countless opportunities to interact positively by encouraging, counseling, sharing knowledge, holding one another accountable, cheering one another, sympathizing with one another. But when it controls it, it is a parasitic addiction. Why is it parasitic? Because it robs us of our time and it turns our joy in friendship into malice and distrust. It turns our focus away from helping one another and towards tearing one another down. It turns us from God to the sentiments of the world, and it turns our influence on others from positive to negative if we are not in control. And the more it controls us, the harder it is to bring back into control. The worse off you get, the harder it will be to fix your problems. Oh, I keep doing that. There we go. So how should we use technology if we're going to use it at all? Some quick examples before we close up. What are some ways that we might should use technology? If we're going to use it at all, I'm not saying everyone in here should be using it. If you're going to use it, though, what are some good ways to do it? Yes? Spread the word of God. That's the number one answer, I think. Anyone else?
Signs of the
times. Signs of the times. That's great, yeah.
Encourage one another.
Daily readings,
yeah. Anyone else? There's actually lots more. Okay. We can sympathize with one another. We can use it to gain information like we do in our classes. We use eSword. You hear a brother comes up and gives us awesome comments like, man, I didn't know he knew Greek. Yeah. He's got eSword on his computer. It's as easy as that. It's a free software download. All of a sudden people think I know Greek and Hebrew. Okay. So every tool we're given, whether it's a chainsaw, whether it's our tongue, whether it's the ability to type something on a computer, every tool we're given, every talent that we're given requires us to be good stewards. That means we have to use them correctly. Technology is no different. Understand the problems people tend to have with them. Understand how to use them correctly. They can be valuable tools or they can make you miserable. It just depends on who's in control. I'll leave you with this. Regardless of what kind of electronic communication you use, it can be a wonderful servant, but a terrible master. Remember, with great power comes great responsibility. Thank you.